arrangements.
So by that period of time, then, if I understand you correctly, then both on both Senate and Rep's side, they were committee secretariats rather than individuals appointed like you had been originally to a single committee.
That's right. Yes, you were appointed to the House of Reps committee staff and you were allocated to a committee depending on, well, not depending on, I suppose you would be appointed to a committee, allocated to a committee, and the committee staff would probably comprise a committee secretary, a research officer and a stenographer. And they were all located in the old Hotel Canberra.
But back from 64 to 72, while you were with the Public Works Committee, you were, the arrangements was as it had been from the beginning of your period. So you originally only you and a stenographer, and then later you and an assistant, yes, plus the stenographer. Yeah, yeah. So how did the committees, perhaps you could tell a little bit more about how the committee system or committees worked as a system. How did they work?
Well, the committee, the Aboriginal Affairs Committee, for example, met, it was appointed, members were appointed to it, the committee met, and they appointed a chairman and a vice chairman. I think the members, it was either 7 or 9 members on the committee. And then they would decide what work they would undertake. And in the case of the Aboriginal Affairs Committee, they undertook to do a review of the present conditions, of the 1973 conditions of the Yirrkala people, and used as a base the report which had been presented 10 years previously. Now, what other committees did, I'm not sure, but they would have had a number of matters referred to them by their respective houses. You know, for example, on road safety, I'm sure there would have been matters which had been raised within the house. And because it was a road safety committee, one of the members would say, well, isn't that a matter which should be reviewed by the road safety committee? And the house would then agree, and the committee would then undertake a review of that particular matter and report back after the review had been completed. Now, how they would go about their work would rather depend on the nature of the matter. I think in the case of the Road Safety Committee, they would probably go to the road transport matter organisations within the states and say, now we've got this matter referred to us, would you like to make a submission to us about it? You would advertise the matter in the press and invite submissions from the groups within society who are interested in that particular matter. You would hold a public hearing. Committee would consider the evidence that they'd got and how related to the matter. If they wanted more information, they'd go back again to whoever get further information and views on a particular matter. And they would then sit down and say, well, they would then decide what their conclusions were about the particular matter and ask the staff to get on with preparing a report which encompassed the evidence that was taken and the views of the committee and the recommendations, if any.
Going back to the Public Works Committee again, it operated, its brief was rather more general. Did it get referrals from Parliament, or was it actually simply because it had to examine all project over a certain size, that would come to be automatically referred to the committee by the Public Works departments?
the formality required was for the Minister for Works, whoever he was, whether he was a senator or a member of the House of Reps, to refer to the committee for examination and report this particular matter and report back to the Parliament at its conclusion. That was the requirement of the law. And when that happened, from that point on, the committee would then take the matter in hand. Now, the general approach would be to invite submissions from the sponsoring department and from the Department of Works if they were involved, but also to advertise in the local paper for submissions from interested groups. You'd have some knowledge beforehand from just talking to, say, the Postmaster General's Department about whether that particular mail exchange was adequate or not, and who have you been talking to, who's spoken to you about it, and you would get their details. You would write to them and invite them to make a submission to the committee. You'd get the responses from the advertisement. We did quite a lot of in effect, it was almost a routine that we would advertise in the local paper about the committee's inquiry and invite invite submissions.
Were there any ad hoc type inquiries referred to Public Works, other than those which fell clearly within the scope of of project of a certain value, but
no, they had enough work to do as it was. No, they weren't any ad hoc. In fact, I think I'd really need to look at the legislation, but I think it wouldn't allow that.
Mm. Did you have any sort of knowledge of the operation of the accounts, the Public Audit Committee?
Public Accounts Committee.
Accounts Committee, sorry.
No, I didn't really. I think they relied on matters being referred to them by ministers. I don't really know, Edward. I think they perhaps had ideas within the committee structure of the routine things that they would need to look at. They operated on a far more liberal, I suppose, agenda, if you like, than did the Public Works Committee. I don't think their legislation required them to do this particularly. I think they generated, in effect, their own work.
Did you have any dealings with the secretary to that committee?
I knew him well. We expressed views about staffing requirements from time to time, and where we found accommodation in the States if we needed to move around. I knew David Reed well, but
So that you didn't actually cooperate or help one another out in there?
Oh, we didn't need to. We didn't need to. Our part, administratively, our paths never crossed. He was a good friend, and we faced similar logistic problems from time to time, and we talked about those.
Mm.
But as for being aware of what their complexities of their tasks, it really wasn't a subject we talked about. And
you have alluded to it already, but could you perhaps describe a bit more exactly how you yourself worked with a committee? Let's say you have an inquiry has been referred to the committee. What happens then?
Well, perhaps go back a step to the beginning of the Parliament, Parliament. At the beginning of the Parliament, it would be my duty after the nominations for the committee were determined by the parties, because the parties would, there were 9 members of the committee, there were 3 senators and 6 members. And the general in the Menzies and Gorton days, there would be requirements for the ruling party to nominate 2 senators and 3 members, and for the Labor Party to nominate the remainder. And once those names were determined, the obvious chairman was always apparent from the nominations. But I'd sort of talk to him and say, well, look, we've got to have a meeting. is it convenient for you to meet on such and such a day at such and such a time and place? And I'd get in touch with the rest of the members, and we'd have a meeting, and they would select a chairman and a vice chairman. And
now the system is that the secretary actually chairs the meeting until a chairperson has been elected.
Oh yes,
was that the case?
That was the case, but it was obvious from that from local knowledge who was likely to be chairman. He would chair the committee and until the selection was made. But having been done, the committee might have a matter or matters referred to them hanging over from the previous parliament that needed to be attended to, and would be referred to the committee by the Minister for Works as soon as he had the opportunity, and I'd then get the committee together to talk about how we would handle the matter, and I'd have some suggestions to make about advertising, calling evidence from interested parties, and then sort out with them how they would fit into the meetings, and you'd take it from there. I thought I'd go to the committee, talk to the chairman beforehand, and sort out pretty much a program, and then we'd talk to the committee about it. And
during meetings, did you take notes, or did you have a stenographer or someone to actually record the proceedings of the meeting?
No, I just took notes. Yeah. That was all that was required at that point. Different at a public hearing.
Yeah, for that you would call Hans out to provide staff.
Oh yes, provide a service. Yeah.
And for that, and they would provide you with verbatim with transcripts of proceedings, and evidence presented.
Oh yes, well the evidence that we always tried to get written evidence from interested parties. And certainly would from the sponsoring department and the Department of Works. Others, you'd try to get, you'd ask them to make a written submission anyway. And that was the basis of the evidence they would give. But that's the way, and we'd finished up with a transcript, and from that you would get the committee to review the transcript if they needed to, not always willing to go back and read it, and then you would ask them, well, what are your conclusions on this? Do you agree if the work ought to go ahead? Do you think there ought to be some reservations expressed about what's done, the way it's gone about? Was the odd occasion when they rejected a proposal and said go back to square one. But by and large.
Before you went to, the committee got to that stage, did you have discussions with the chair to, in a sense, talk through the issues and perhaps agree on what was going to be put to the committee?
Not really. I guess there were occasions when that happened. I think probably by the time all the evidence has been taken, the attitudes of the members themselves would be pretty well known, and you would be prepared if there are going to be dissenting views expressed. You'd probably know from the nature of the evidence that had been taken and the views expressed by members during the cross-examination of the witnesses that where they were placed. I'd probably would want to get together with the chairman at one stage before the report was finalised to talk to him about any particular matters that he ought to raise, or the reservations expressed by members and how they ought to be handled.
Mm. Yeah. Were there any chairmen who were, let's say, operated differently during your time with the Public Works Committee, or were they all basically easy to work with?
I was blessed. Except perhaps for the first chairman, Bill Brimble came as a member from Maranoa. He was a grazier. He'd been a member for a couple of terms, I think. He wasn't a well-known member of Parliament. But I came in on my first inquiry. My first task was to finish off an inquiry which the committee had handled prior to my becoming secretary. And there were some difficult matters associated with it that needed some pretty delicate handling. It was referred to a beef road in the Northern Territory, a beef road from Catherine to Top Springs. I forget now what the problems were, but it in a sense hadn't been handled particularly well by the committee, and the secretary was in a difficult position with it. And anyway, we settled it. The matter was eventually settled, I suppose. The report was partly written when I came, but it needed a little bit more work on it, which I really wasn't able to contribute very much to, because I wasn't at the public hearings. I didn't know a great deal about the committee's attitude. But after that, the next election was held pretty shortly after that, when Bob Menzies was still Prime Minister. That's when I first joined the committee, and I'll tell you about experience with him later. The next chairman was Fred Chaney, from member for Perth, father of the Senator Fred Chaney, and he was tremendous. He was a wonderful chairman. He really was. We got on extremely well together. We became very close personal friends. Played the odd game of golf or two on sitting days when the committee wasn't working, got 9 holes at Royal Canberra. And his successor was, as chairman, was Bert Kelly. And precisely the same arrangement with Bert as there was with Fred. A good personal friends, and just got to know them, both of them, extremely well.
Committees must have had some difficulty with dealing with issues that were sort of hanging over from the previous set of members or previous session. If the membership changed and the committee and the report was not completed, how did you deal with that?
Well, first of all, from Parliament to Parliament, there weren't very many changes in membership within that Parliament. And I don't think there might have been the odd occasion where there's been a change in membership within that parliament. Wouldn't have been very many of them. No, by and large, I found committee members pretty agreeable, relatively easy to deal with. There were one or two exceptions to that, but of course, you would expect with a membership of nine and changes of membership. But you know, that's the way it was. They, by and large, they worked extremely well together. There were some committees with which I was subsequently associated with, where they were members of the committee, but only members in name only, made no contribution at all. But yeah, they put their name up so that they would be remembered as a member of such and such a committee. But with the public works, I was blessed there because, yeah, by and large, they were very agreeable and hard-working people.
When the committee had sort of finished most of its deliberations and you started, well, got to the stage where you were drafting a report, did you do that all by yourself? Or did you was there any consultative process with the chairman or other members of the committee in writing the preparing the drafts?
Generally, what I'd do would be to write a report based on the evidence that we'd taken and the views expressed by the committee in considering that evidence. And I, by and large, and I'd present it if I had any issues on which I needed clarification. Then I'd speak to the chairman and say, how do you think we ought to express this particular point of view? Really, by and large, the reports that I prepared were accepted without too much alteration. They'd look at them. By and large, I think probably 90% of the references that we received, reports on them were for acceptance without any alteration to the proposal as put to us. Occasionally there'd be a requirement to express an opinion about this matter or that matter. There was one matter, I haven't got the documents here, which in 1972 was rejected. But that was the exception rather than the rule. Very much so. Very rarely did that happen.
What about minority views? Were they something that happened from time to time?
Happened from time to time, not frequently. Was the exception rather than the rule. I'd rather you would allow that view to influence what you said in the report rather than. And I don't ever remember presenting a report in which there was an open dissent.
This is Public Works,
Yes,
Public
absolutely.
Works Committee, yeah. And in terms of the not specific committees, but generally, did the way you operated as a committee secretary change with the committees you worked with later, or was it much the same as it had been when you worked with Public Works?
Pretty much the same. Depended how the reference came to the committee in the first place. If it came through the a motion of the House, then you would be very mindful of the views expressed during the debate. And yeah, just very mindful of that. And then when you got the committee going, they were generally, go back a step, they were generally matters which would take a bit somewhat longer than you would with the Public Works Committee reports because they were fairly concise. Matters, generally not matters on which views needed, particular needs views to be expressed. The report would generally in the just going back to the Public Works Committee, a report would generally discuss the nature of the work, and a lot of that information would come from the presentations from the sponsoring department and or the Department of Works. Within that, you would perhaps express, if needed, some of the views expressed to you by witnesses, just to, yes. But with other matters, like the Aboriginal Affairs, for example, you would need to and want to think, to make some reference, considerable reference, to the views expressed by interested parties. And you would form your own views, for example, that first reference by the Aboriginal Affairs Committee was about the Yirrkala situation. You'd want to express views about the influence of things like the work at the bauxite mine at Gove and all that sort of thing. I mean, it's far more open in the terms of the views that are needed to be reported on.
So broadly, those sort of inquiries would appear to take a lot longer than perhaps some of those ones you did for Public Works.
Oh, yes. And they would take a lot longer to write too. Mm. Yeah.
As an average, how long did your normal, say, inquiry for them before Public Works, how long would that take from the time you get the referral till you have written the report?
Oh, there's no clear answer to that. It would take as long as it took. With projects like the Black Mountain Tower, for example, it took 4 months to from beginning to end, but that was a relatively complicated matter because of the community interest in it. That wasn't very common. I can think of some reports which I wrote in which I was involved, where you could probably finish it in 2 months, given a reasonable time.
Mm.
As I said earlier, the 1972 was just unusual. Those 35 reports in the 1 year, that was exceptional. But it didn't, because of the number, it didn't really affect the quality of the committee's work.
The committee would be dealing with a large number of matters at the same time.
Well, yes and no. It depended on the number of references to the committee, obviously. Yes, probably two or three was the usual thing, the average.
What was the case with the committees that you worked with later? Did they deal with large numbers of inquiries or large inquiries?
Some of them were large inquiries. The Aboriginal Affairs, for example, I think that probably took the best part of 9 months to deal with. I'd need to look at the figures to know that. But then with the Environment Committee, they did a lot of travelling and inspections, places they wanted to look at, like Ayers Rock before it became Uluru. It rather depended on the nature of the inquiry and the interest of the members and how deeply they became involved in the examination of the evidence that you took and I mean, every one of those inquiries was different from the one before. It depended on the circumstances, the nature of the inquiry, where it was, who you took evidence from, if evidence was available. Sometimes you had to prompt evidence, prompt to get evidence from relating to it from people.
Did you ever, in a sense, take the initiative to go and say that you need to hear evidence from this group and that group or this group? Or was that something that was really determined by the chair and chairman?
Oh, no, that certainly did.
Hmm.
Oh, yes, you had to develop an intellectual interest in it, and I mean, it just wasn't a matter of sitting back and waiting for things to happen. I can remember writing to people saying, or to groups, saying, we've got this inquiry. I believe your interest in this might be relevant to what we want to know, and could you help us, please?
Would you do that without referring to the chairman first, or would you?
I'd talk to the chairman, yes.
Mm.
Yeah. All the chairman I've been involved with have all been positively interested in what the committee's inquiry, and you need to just take that in mind and to bear that in mind, and just say, well, you know, how about we talk to Joe about this particular matter? I believe he and his group have got an interest in it, and sometimes the advertisements that you placed in the paper weren't, in the press weren't particularly productive, and
Did you ever get unsolicited and submission from, you know, when you maybe even before you had advertised, or the inquiry had got underway, people wanting to?
I don't remember having received any like that. Submissions as such. You might have heard about or had given to you. Correspondence perhaps, or reports from particular groups, which prompted your interest in inquiring them to be participants, give evidence. Yeah.
Any other general points that you'd like to make about the way it, you know, in broad, the big picture?
No, the activities of committee in the post from the Whitlam days on, I think made a totally different task for the Parliament, and I think it was an excellent thing that he did, I think we're still feeling the benefits of that. Prior to his day, with just the odd committees being set up besides the two statutory committees, members' interests were really confined to what happened in the chambers. And I think the establishment of committees, select committees, outside of the normal operating committees within the Parliament, I think it's been an excellent move, and I think they've shown in their days since Whitlam a very productive part of the Parliament, and I think they've involved the members themselves, given them a new interest, a different interest as well, expanded their knowledge. Yes.
You mentioned many of the committees that you referred to, those select committees, relate to the House of Representatives. Murphy, as a senator, was into. Was there the same impact in this, on the Senate side?
It was like an infection. Yes. It certainly had its influence. And with the strength of the Labor Party in the House in the 73 to 75, I think it was a repercussive effect, if you like, from the views expressed by Lionel at that stage.
Were there any changes after the Whitlam government was dismissed and the Conservative government came into power? Were there any changes in the committee numbers, structures, the way they operated?
No.
So it
just continued.
A change which became permanent, effectively.
Oh, there were other sorts of committees as well. My experience with committees finished in 1982. I had 12 months away on that select committee, that inquiry that the government set up on the NCDC, but I don't think the general policy has changed.